Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to The Hotbed, Episode 5, Can Feminist Porn Give You the Horn? I'm Lisa Williams.
And I'm Aniki Somerville.
And I'm Cherry Healy.
So today we're going to be talking about porn, which is a hotbed if ever there was one. Here's a little stat to start it all off. Pornhub, which is probably the world's premier porn site, worked out that in 2016, 64 million people visited their site per day.
Whoa!
Which is basically the entire population of the UK every single day. And that's just that site alone. It doesn't take into account anything else.
It wasn't just me either. Other people went on that site as well.
Just the Hotbed Collective doing for research purposes. Now, porn's not going away, but is it turning us all into overwaxed anal mad zombies? And is there a better way? We are going to discuss it with a focus on the rise of feminist porn and whether that can save the world. We're also going to listen to a section of our live show where Cherry, Aniki and I review some lube. Lube and porn, don't say we never treat you. Now, to set the scene, where are we? We're back in Cherry's boudoir.
Boudoir. We've got little tiny Joe. Lisa's just had the most beautiful little boy. And he's very happy at the milk bar.
He is. He's a little bit snorty, as ever. Fourth member of the Hotbed Collective, so I apologise. I think the difference this week is that Cherry has dimmed the lights and closed the blinds, and it's feeling really rather red light special.
What you don't know, and what you don't know, is that when we finish this, I'm going to put on Barry White and get out the champers.
Oh god, I can't wait. Now, yeah. Cherry, what are you wearing?
This week, I am wearing a Baby Grow with Breton stripes because I'm honouring our newest member of Hotbed by mimicking his style. So everything that Joe wears from now on, I'm going to wear. And yes, I am wearing a nappy as well, because I'm thorough.
You'll be in Heat magazine. Who wore it better, Cherry or Baby Joe?
Oh, that scares me, because
the image is quite terrifying.
It's quite terrifying. Also, Ray's discovered a channel on YouTube, because there's obviously all these very strange videos that come up when she watches, because I haven't worked out how to put the parental control thing on. But anyway, she's found a video on there where it's grown men dressed as babies. So a couple of times she said, "Mummy, there's a man and he's dressed as a baby and I'm watching it." And that's the moment usually when I know I've got to come in and intervene.
So what are you wearing, Aniki?
Well, I thought, because you were talking about being smooth and waxen, what I've done is I've tried to spend the last probably 3 months growing as much body hair as possible. So I've just got a lot of leg hair, and then I've tried to not do my bikini line for such a long time, and just to see as an experiment how long it would grow. And it's actually just on my inner knee area.
That's
so impressive. It's actually gone all the way down. Very fine hair, and then it gets darker and darker all the way up here, and then it started to expand up to my belly button. So I'm thinking if I keep going, I won't need to wear any trousers, because it'll be taken care of.
The insulation. I get cold really easily. I think I might start doing that.
And it's fine, as long as you just get past the idea that they're going to be poking through tights.
I wouldn't want to wear torn jeans, because you get like a big bush out the knee area.
And there is a brilliant moment in Mrs. Doubtfire where Robin Williams is sat on a bus as Mrs. Doubtfire, and he reveals that he's a lady by his very, 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 very very hairy legs. Well, man lady. Mm. And so that's what I have to be a bit careful of. It's like, even now, I'm aware that there's a lot of thick hair.
Mm. How low can you grow?
Exactly.
How low
can you grow? There's only one person who's going to be saving money this winter on her heating bills, and that is Anarchy...
Yeti Somerville.
Lisa, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing nothing, and it's really polite of you to have not made reference to that already, but I was so buoyed by the body confidence episode last week that I decided just to embrace full nudity, having posed nude in Perth, Scotland. Yeah. I now just have done away with clothes, which makes feeding a baby much quicker.
So much faster.
And nobody really looked. I mean, when you arrived here, it was fine. I was amazed. The shepherd's bush seems to be ready for
it. I did turn the heating up, though.
Yeah.
I just think you've got to push boundaries, and people are more liberal and understanding than you think.
Well, but thank you, Lisa.
You did wax.
I'm waxed. Yeah. I'm fully waxed.
But she is a gift. Lisa is a gift.
Thank you.
From the gods.
So let's talk about porn, peoples. So the reason that we thought we would do this is that there's been a slow and steady rise of feminist porn, and I don't think it's an area people know much about. I think most people, when they think of porn, will think of going to Pornhub and Googling MILF or lesbian or one of the other big search terms on this site. But feminist porn is a really interesting sector, and I think it's one that I want more people to know about. So Cherry's raised her hand.
I'm raising my hand. I would like you to try and define what feminist porn
is.
Yes,
me too.
Because when I first heard that statement, I thought, well, that doesn't sound very horny. So what, pray tell Lisa, is in fact feminist porn?
Did you think it was going to be porn involving eminent feminists?
Jermaine Greer.
No, sadly not, although that would have been mega hot. I thought it was going to be kind of have lots of politics in it and be quite statement-y.
I didn't think dungarees would definitely come in.
Massive. You love a dungaree. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it would just be incredibly hot and sexy and amazing. So what is the difference between porny porn?
Yes.
Pornhub porn and feminist porn?
I would say that, I'll just explain quickly a bit of background, is that I review films for a site and a magazine called Electric Sheep, and I happen to have made a little niche for myself as feminist porn critic. So I've watched quite a lot of it, and I have to say that there isn't a unified definition or an agreed definition of what feminist porn is. However, a common denominator is that women are involved in the production, so they will be female filmmakers. They tend to be much fairer in terms of the workplace. The women are better looked. The porn stars are well looked after, well paid. They tend to depict things like the female orgasm in a more realistic way. And they tend to be much more sensitive to things like the depiction of people of colour. So people of colour will be not fetishized as they might be in mainstream porn. Essentially, it's ethical porn. And there are different degrees of it, obviously, because I would say some stuff that comes under the bracket of feminist porn is actually very mainstream porn. It just happens to have been written by a woman or directed by a woman. And then it can be much more extreme in the sense of very right on, right on, left wing.
So my question is to all of us, why is it not just called ethical porn rather than feminist porn? Because I think in a way that label feminist porn can be a bit of a turn off in terms of when I think of feminism, I think of quite not a kind of sexy chat, but an important
political,
powerful political chat. Mm-hmm.
Problem is, if you
and
say,
also it feels very very a women's.
Yes.
Whereas I when I watched it, I realised that this is for everybody who doesn't want to watch people being
garrotted
sat
by
on.
A large sat on. Pair of hands.
No, but if you want to be, you can still be garrotted by a large pair of hands on feminist porn. Mm. But as in every, there's a much more. It's consensual, it's fair, it's equal, it's thoughtful. Doesn't mean to say that there can't be really extreme sexual acts on there, but it's just that it's so the woman will orgasm as well as the man, for example. Whereas in porn, like Pornhub porn, a woman will very rarely, if ever, come, and if she does, it's very, 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 very fake.
But also, they know.
Listen, everyone, it is very, very fake. In any sense that women come that easily, if your girlfriend comes that easily, you are either, one in a million, or it's fake.
It's strange, isn't it?
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Mm. Problem is, it sets such a bad standard.
Also, on a really sobering, horrible note, there was a study. So there's been an academic study into aggression and porn. And it found, this was back in 2010, okay, so it's a bit old, but it found that out of 304 scenes analysed, more than 88% contained physical aggression. And more than 48% contained verbal aggression, mainly towards women and mainly by men. And the women who were being slapped, garrotted or whatever were kind of showing pleasure or responding mutually to the aggression.
My question about that, so are you saying that that is obviously a bad thing? The question with that is that the Nancy Friday book,
yes,
so many, which by the way, listeners, is a book that contains a lot of very honest accounts of people's sexual fantasies, mm-hmm. and then it's analysed, and there is a sense that this is actually a very normal part of sexual fantasy. Mm. So it's difficult because, you don't want to encourage an unnatural level of violence in sex and sex.
Part of the problem is, I think that's, well, it was interesting because I think the problem is it has to be consensual, which is consensual, not sensual, because
so I suppose
people,
that's the difference.
What you get, the a lot of porn narratives, if you traditional porn, you'll watch and a woman will sometimes really not be enjoying what's happening to her, but underneath she's exposed as enjoying it. So it's that whole idea that she really wants it, doesn't she? Like, she's pretending that she doesn't want it, but she does really want it.
Yes.
And that's quite a difficult thing to navigate.
It's a really difficult line.
Because actually for young men who are increasingly young men, that's how they learn about what women want. So they're like, oh, she's saying she doesn't want it, but she does want it because look, she's really enjoying it. So look, she's got six guys at the same time and she's really enjoying it, but she says she doesn't want it. Mm. And that's the problem, is that I think there's that whole little thing about, has the woman actually said this is something that she wants to do very clearly and she enjoys it? Because there's nothing wrong if that's what you enjoy. And I think Nancy Friday clocked on to the whole idea of, you know, women do have these violent fantasies. And one of the reasons is because if someone does something to you, you don't necessarily carry the guilt. And women are raised to carry a lot of guilt about sex and claiming their sexuality. So I think, you know,
it's
there's
a complicated
nothing,
issue.
It's a complicated issue. I've noticed, but it has to be clear that they're definitely in porn.
It's a very different thing.
Yeah, it is a bit of a different thing.
On Make Love Not Porn, there is significantly less violent sex, which is interesting.
So we basically tasked ourselves with watching some feminist porn, and that was Cherry's one that you sort of landed on. So can you just explain what it is and what you liked or didn't like about it?
I was not expecting to like it, and I love it.
Maybe.
It's so not...
Is this the one where you can record yourself and upload yourself?
Absolutely. So it's all amateur sex. Well, people submit their own videos. Mm. And, I mean, there's just all the colours of the rainbow on there. Mm-hmm. There's men masturbating on their own in the shower, mm-hmm. on the floor. There is... there's just everything. Mm. And it's all what I found really striking about it. And you pay for a subscription, or if you can just have a little search on it. If you don't want to pay, you can have a look and you can see clips and videos. But what I've been surprised at is how hot it is watching two people have sex who are really, really into each other.
Yeah, because there's real couples on there, essentially.
There are real couples. Yeah. But you know, it's awful because I've only ever watched more Pornhub stuff, which is now I realise it's a bit like having a McDonald's and then you have a really incredible burger.
But you know what's worrying me there? You know when you say real people, because there used to be a genre which was kind of like, you know, in the traditionally magazines, there would be readers' wives. So there were the models who were the kind of pin-ups that men would have on the cover of the magazine. Yeah. But then they could send in pictures of their wives. And then I think actually that became really popular. So sort of real people. And I mean, I will admit, you know, I don't have a perfect physique. But if I'm watching people getting it on together, I want them to have a bit of an aspirational look about them. That's what would make it rousing to me.
I agree. I agree. But I have to say I've been surprised. Do you know what? Sometimes I want your kind of classic stereotypical scene. But I've been surprised at how incredibly hot it is watching real people have sex and it's really into each other. You feel the chemistry, you feel the lust, the intensity of that lust. And actually, I thought, well, maybe it won't be as naughty, and half the fun of porn is it feels a bit naughty and it's a bit, you know, it's really sexy. But it's really naughty watching two people have sex who are clearly really into each other. It's not put on, it is put on for you, but there's a much more voyeuristic feel to it, which is kind of fun and naughty. But nobody, what's nice about it is there is a bit of a less kind of dirty taste in your mouth.
You don't feel guilty.
You don't feel guilty because everyone's having a really, really good time. And the women orgasm.
And they're being paid. So everyone that uploads video, I think they get 50% of any earnings from their videos. So obviously Make Love Not Porn will take its cut for hosting and publicising and finding an audience. But essentially they're going to make money from their performance.
It's also something interesting as well. I think if you're interested in people, I do not watch porn for stories. There's this idea that women like the storyline, and I hate the storyline. I always fast forward to the good bits. I'm in no way, not it's all funny, women want the plumber coming in and the music. I mean, I get right in there. I don't have, I'm very busy. I do not have time for a storyline. And also I just don't want that. So, but I found watching the real couples have sex, you know, they are real couples and they're in their real house and they're doing their favorite thing, and it, you know, you get a little synopsis. So Jane came home from work and she was really tired. I'd made her supper, but she wasn't, you know, she wasn't feeling that, and so I did
but that's a different thing though, isn't it? Because that's
I literally can't believe that synopsis was so boring.
I'm so turned on right now.
Jane comes home and she opens a packet of tomatoes and she makes a salad dressing and then decides she's a bit tired, so she puts the electric blanket on and goes to bed. It's not too like erotic.
Do you think Make Love Not Porn are going to sue me for worst ad ever? By the way, it's a lot.
Will say that what they do have on their website is a bit of a manifesto as to what they want on their site. And actually, you are right. They say that they love a bit of backstory. They love a bit of context. They also say, which I think is hilarious, is that if something funny or unexpected happens during the shag, so if the light bulb blows or the cat one jumps onto the bed or one of them farts, they say keep it in. They say we like that. And apparently that does quite well as that sort of reality. Apparently there's two of their really famous stars that have made a real career out of it happen to be proper porn stars, but they basically film their off-camera sex for Make Love Not Porn, and they're really popular. And apparently in their sex scenes they'll say like, I'm actually really hungry, can we stop and make a sandwich or whatever, and people love it because I guess it's a combination of YouTubers and porn, and people kind of get sucked into the sort of drama of it.
That's a really, really good point. I think that's exactly what it is that you get an insight into someone's life, a real life, not set up and scripted, where the gut, oh, I hate it in porny porn, where the girls are like, oh, that feels amazing. Oh, God, it's great.
But it's usually
feel that good the whole way.
I know, but what gets me down is that's usually when they're just taking their pants off. So they're like going, oh, my God, I'm having an orgasm. My pants are coming off. Oh, my God, I've just seen your bum and my pants are coming off and I'm having an orgasm. And I'm like, no, this is not fair, because for young guys, they're going to think, why, this girl's taking her pants off and she's not had an orgasm yet. What's going on?
Or the girl will go down on a guy and make noises like she's
eating a fettuccine.
like she's eating a fettuccine.
Oh, this is so good.
But I think you're right. It sets a ridiculous standard. It makes me want to shout into my television, my projector.
Into my wireless.
This is so annoying, and it sets a really bad standard. We suffer as a consequence. And then a guy will try for 10 seconds to give you an orgasm. You don't orgasm, so suddenly you're tricky.
Yeah.
Well, you're frigid. You're frigid because you didn't take your pants off and have an orgasm.
Well, I didn't have any fettuccine.
So hard to please. Cherry, I wanted to ask you, how did you feel from like a body confidence point of view?
Seeing, I loved
like,
it.
Real versus wax and fake and
I thought
cetera.
It was absolutely wonderful. I thought it was euphoric.
Wow.
Because I was so expecting to find real bodies, not a turn on. And that says everything about me, and I completely put my hands up to it. I've grown up in a world where it's just not okay to not have a perfect body, even though I don't have a perfect body. And it's so, and
well,
I'm...
Come. Yes, you do.
I have been on a one-woman mission since I was about 28 to unpick that shit. And I'm doing really well, and I'm absolutely committed to it. But that was that little thought of, oh, I just don't think it's going to be that hot. And sometimes it's not. Like, sometimes I'll click onto a couple and I'll think, I'm just not into this. And other times I just automatically think, this is just fucking hot. And they're not perfect bodies. They're normal bodies. And actually, it's really nice to see. I tell you what I love. I love seeing another woman's body and thinking, this is so hot and gorgeous. And they're having wonderful sex with her boyfriend. It's super gorgeous and hot. And seeing that she might have a belly roll.
Yeah.
Or she might have that bit. You know, when you put your leg up and your hip, there's a big bit of flesh and fat on your thigh. And realising how nobody cares. I don't care. She still looks super hot. Yeah. Sex is really hot. Mm. That's also affirming as well. Mm. Because if you're having sex, I sometimes look down and I'm like, oh my God, I look disgusting in this position. How does anybody want to have sex with me? But nobody cares.
No, not when you're in it.
Oh God, no.
I don't care, Cherry, if that happens.
Look, when you're you and I have sex, do you please don't mind?
I don't mind.
So Lisa, what did you like about feminist porn? Do you like it?
So it really varies. I'd say the quality varies of the stuff that I have seen. And it's really about personal taste. So, for example, there's a filmmaker called Jennifer Lyon Bell, and she very much goes in for the whole storyline thing. Mm. And there's a lot of story, and kind of like,
fast forward.
Where is the action?
Netflix for my story. I know. That's the problem.
Yes. So there's actually too much story for me in her films. However, what I really like about it is I watched it and I was lucky enough to interview her. And one of my questions was, do the actors all know each other? Are they real couples? Because there was a real intimacy and chemistry between her sort of lead actors. And she said, no. But I'm really glad you said that, because I just cast really carefully and make sure that there is a proper tangible chemistry between the actors that don't know each other. And I liked that because there was like a spark, a bit of electricity. But there's a lot of story, and I think they are popular films, just not so much for me. There's on the other side, there's a German filmmaker called Petra Joy, who is a joy to talk to and to see her interviewed. She's just so wonderful, really sort of eccentric, loud, liberated lady, and her films are not much storyline, but lots of things like texture, colour, music. They're very sensuous, they're very sensual. She calls it guy candy. She says it's really important for women viewers to see a sexy back, you know, on a man. Oh. You know, things like that, which the traditional porn maker would definitely not think about.
You don't get any of that.
Yeah, no, you don't. And her films are, I'd say aesthetically, like, I think they could be a bit trendier. They are a little bit kind of louche, plush, red velvet and whatever, but they're pretty hot. The best I've seen was, you know, the erotic boutique Coco de Mer, which used to be owned by Sam Roddick. They've done a compilation of sort of short erotic films, and they were super hot and sexy. And they just had things, quite everyday situations, but sort of glamorous.
Buying golden syrup in Tesco?
That's one of their best sellers, indeed.
What normal situations?
Gets me off. No, just stuff like a really nice looking but curvy girl in a lovely pair of pants, which obviously we have talked before about the joy of some pretty filly knickers sitting on top of a washing machine, for example, and finding that hot enough, and then a sexy guy comes and they get it on, and like that's just like real hot sex that's not too pervy, not too sexist, and I'm sure she's well after. It's not dungeons. And, you know, the girl, I think, was, I would say, probably a size 16, 18. Didn't matter, you know. And
see, that's
I would really recommend that. Mm. Now, Anarchy has done a bit of both. So Anarchy did a hilarious article for thehotbedcollective.com about her big porno experiment, where tasked herself with watching loads of hardcore porn and saw what happened to her brain. And you've also seen, is it Erica Lust as
Yes. It's funny, because actually, I mean, I had watched porn before, I must say. It wasn't the first time. But I did have a whole kind of week, I guess, of watching porn and actually challenging myself on the categories. So, you know, you get all the categories that come up.
Some of them scare me.
So I went for the ones that I hadn't seen before. And it was funny, actually, because I found the worrying thing for me is that I definitely became desensitized quite quickly. God, yeah. So basically I got to the point where I was quite immune to seeing a lot of stuff. But also, when I was out in public, I was just looking at guys and thinking, I wonder how big his cock is.
Yes.
I wonder, you know, what kind of porn he watches. I mean, it was really strange. Yes. It was quite a weird experiment.
So it really shifts kind of your perception.
Yeah, I could see basically that I could essentially be locked in a room. There is a bit in Sex and the City where I'm showing my age here, but she gets locked up with a vibrator and she can't leave the house for about 6 months because she's got a new vibrator. But there was this kind of thing where actually I can see that certainly if you watched a lot of porn and didn't go out, you would start to become quite weird because it warps your view of people. It so does. You do sort of look at other people and I think, well, I wonder what they're like in bed. Oh, look, he's got a nice butt. It's almost like you've got X-ray vision.
Yes.
Yeah. So even in really inappropriate situations, like in a park with a dad, you'll be thinking, well, I wonder if he's got a hard on or what would it be like if I whipped him over the climbing frame and spanked him. But it was just because it was just this
coming
whole,
to Pornhub thing.
It was this really strange thing. But the other thing I didn't like was they had a lot of combinations which were revolting guys with really hot women, but what they didn't seem to have, no, they didn't have revolting women with really nice guys. They just had, they had this weird thing where it was, you know, like old men with young women, or fat men with old with young women. But it was, that was always the kind of thing that actually it was kind of really revolting looking men.
Well, if 99.9% of porn is made for guys, then some guys who don't have the perfect physique want to see them.
Yeah, but I could have done with something round, well, maybe round, they didn't seem to have a category where it was kind of middle-aged ladies from Ealing with a dad in the local park while the children are at school. Which would have been,
this is your corner.
I feel like you found your niche.
Yeah, this is it.
That would have been my little category.
That would have been
category.
Amazing.
Agreed. Yeah. And I did exactly the same thing. So when Anarchy did her experiment, she challenged me to do it too. And I couldn't quite bring myself to watch the proper porn. But I did look at Instagram and I got down a bit of a wormhole in Instagram where it was sort of like going from one kind of sexy account to another just to kind of write about it. And I found exactly the same thing because I was looking at these absolutely beautiful bodies and then I was walking around my neighbourhood going, why is everyone so ugly around here? And it really did affect how I viewed people and it did raise my standards. This was within a few days and actually,
it made my language much worse. So I kept using the F word just in everyday scenarios because I think I'd heard it so often.
You're like, she loves so it down the library.
Yeah, it was really...
When you had your fettuccine, did you orgasm?
I think, yeah, exactly. It's just really weird because once those images are in your brain, they don't really come out. And that's why I'm a bit worried because I'm an older lady where I've had a whole history of stuff.
Anarchy's 103.
But yeah, but if I was a young person and this was... Because basically we didn't have all these things at all. So I'm slightly worried that for impressionable brains, it's quite... the amount of porn, but also just the kind of... The variety of it, but also just how it can creep into your consciousness and start almost making you like a bit of a bonkers psycho masturbator mad person.
Absolutely.
Now, there is, another study. I mean, first of all, the average age of first exposure to porn is 11, and people believe that that is now getting younger and younger because the pornographer, like marketing people, are very clever at targeting younger people to widen their audience. There is a study that shows that it can affect how your brain works the younger you're exposed to porn. So it's currently being debated. It's still kind of early days. The analysis obviously is got a long way to go. But we need to... Shall we have a mission? I think we should do something about it. I had exactly the same thought process as Cherry where I thought, why is good porn, ethical porn, called feminist porn? It shouldn't be called that. It should be ethical porn. We question things like the origin of where our food comes from and how the animals are treated. And... sex is fun and I'd never be so puritanical to say like do not watch other people having sex on screen. Like actually it's great, it triggers desire.
It's also as old as time. It's on all the Greek pots. You go to the British Museum and everywhere.
But I even think having this conversation, because it's strange that actually a lot of women won't even admit to watching porn in the first place. So even just having this conversation, because I've spoken to so many friends who say that their partners watch it and they make jokes. There's lots of jokes about, oh, he's got his own iPad, oh, it's all sticky, or it's got a bit of cling film on it, whatever. All those kind of jokes. But they don't actually say that. And then when I've had my, you know, really close friends just going like, oh, no, you know, I don't watch that at all. And I just think, come off it. Just say that you do. It's fine.
Now, I just want to read out a comment from one of our Instagram followers. So we've been asking for people's thoughts on our topics. And we've got a really good thing on feminist porn here that I'm going to read out. It's from at Rasheen CS. She says, hello, collective. Loving the podcast so far. Hooray. Thank you. We love you too. On the topic of porn, I'm doing my MA in sexuality studies in Dublin. And what a great degree. Oh,
that
my God.
Cool.
Why did I knock myself off with modern languages? This was the very subject of my lecture last week. I have watched porn in the past and investigated feminist porn, but I'm stuck in an in-between opinion about the whole thing. On one hand, I just can't believe that any porn can be truly feminist when it feeds back into and perpetuates an industry that at its core exists on the sale of women's and girls' bodies. No matter if it's made by women for women, it still conforms to a lot of deeply embedded societal norms, especially heterosexual norms about sex, sexuality, gender, and power. But, capital letters, but, I also wonder if the only way to change such an industry is to have people making feminist porn and change it all from the inside out. Maybe one day, if women are at the helm of production, distribution, and consumption of porn, then it can truly change from its origins of basically being the watching slash viewing of the act of prostitution, Greek origins of the word, which is just what you were saying. I mean, a lot of this, I mean, it's just as old as time. Mm. So pornography used to be watching prostitution. And, you know, she's made a really good point there. It's basically the same until women are very looked after, that they're making
paid
their own
the same
films,
as men.
Paid the same. I think there are women in the industry who are making a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but it's not that it's still preliminary. I've forgotten my speech. I've watched so much porn. It's still predominantly owned and run by men.
Maybe we should rename it. Maybe we should call it free range porn.
Free range.
I'd see ethical for me just doesn't. Yeah.
I don't get fizzy from ethical porn.
No.
Free range is slightly,
but then the thing is, you're bringing the chicken
into the chicken breast.
So I'm thinking about a chicken involved in
what can we call it? Organic porn?
Well, look, our readers and listeners are really good at coming up with
great terms. Come on, people, help us.
More of that later. So when we set our homework, that will be the teacher's pet homework for Extra Gold Star. So I'm now going to throw to the show. This is our live show that we held in Shoreditch a couple of months ago. People who've listened to our podcast before know what the score is, but basically the three of us put ourselves on a stage and talked about all kinds of funny stuff to a great crowd, and we'll be holding one again. More details on that very, very soon. But in this particular segment of our live show, we talk about lube.
I love a bit of lube. Can't do without it.
You can even cook with it. Do you know that?
35 years to be able to admit that it's not pervy to need lube.
As long as you don't get it out on the bus, it's fine.
I don't often. No. I don't use it as a product for my face.
It's a great lip balm. Now, it's actually similar to when we were talking about pelvic floor, we were saying, like, it's not just for women who've had a baby, and it's not just, it's also for sort of older ladies and older really ladies. Anyone at any stage. And I think it's the same for lube, is it's not just for you know, aging ladies. It's basically going to make
aging labia
the
aging labia.
It's for everyone. Like, lube can make sex hell a lot more good. We're kind of pro lube, aren't we, at the Hotbed Collective? We think it's
so
fantastic.
Pro lube.
Oh, it's so good. Where do you stand on current affair issues? We're pro-lube!
We're pro-lube!
So we review something called Yes Organics, which has its own funny backstory, which I talk about. If anyone is familiar with the amazing Netflix show Grace and Frankie, or Frankie and Grace.
I know, I'm just getting into that now, actually.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I do like it, yeah.
It's taken me a while,
because I just thought they were a bit grumpy to start with.
Yes, but, same. Yeah. On paper, I think it sounds like the worst show ever. Have you seen it, Cherry?
No, I've got a Netflix night tonight. I'll start it.
Start it, but give it some time. So it's got Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin as two ladies whose husbands leave them for each other. So they embark on a gay relationship, and then the women that are, have been left end up living together, and they're chalk and cheese. Lily Tomlin's character is hippy dippy.
I do love her, Lily Tomlin.
And Jane Fonda's character is retired corporate, doesn't eat anything because she's so slim. And it just sounds awful. However, I know I'm not selling it, but that's the premise. Mm. But it's actually really good, mainly on the strength of Lily Tomlin's character.
Yeah.
She's just fantastic. And anyway, they set up a kind of lube company, and the Yes Organics is kind of the real world version of that. So we review that, and we ask our audience to think of a better word for lube, because you guys are just so good at this vocabulary thing. Let's throw it to the show.
Here it is.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Do we have to talk about lube?
Yes, we do.
Don't
definitely.
You think it needs a new name? Lube.
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 Lube. I hate the name. It's unfortunate. But you can't call it like sex juice because that's worse.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Anyone got any good ideas for rebranding lube?
Gel.
Oh. I don't know if that's better. You seem excellent, but I don't know. Gel.
It could also be anything, couldn't it? It could be like hair gel, shower gel.
Silky sauce.
That's nice.
That is the best offering.
I like that one. So we're going to talk about a particular brand today, and that's this one. It's called Yes. So Yes Organic was founded by Susie and Sarah, who worked for Pfizer when Viagra was created, and they saw this sudden surge in interest in sex from older men that previously couldn't do it. And then they heard from the other halves, then the women were basically saying, oh, it's not working for me anymore. Like, my partner wants loads of sex, and it's all gone a bit dry down there, and it's not really working. So they decided to basically leave Pfizer, sell their houses, and set up Yes Organics. And that is the story. So they basically dedicated themselves to making this amazing lube, which is organic and free of any nasties, and it's completely got women in mind, and it's pretty incredible. And they lent us some products. They didn't lend them. They didn't want them back. I didn't want them back.
So basically, the reason I like this is because it's very, it's just like normal and nice, and it's not, I like it when sex can be like lovely and wonderful, and it's not kind of salacious and like, it's, sex is a really lovely thing, and I think this brand has got it really, really on the nose with their branding. Their products is really good. The only one that slightly confuses me is the vaginal moisturizing gel.
Well, this is
I was confused by that, but I'd like to be pushed out my comfort zone, and I will try this. I've got a very moisturized vagina currently.
But I think
I just feel like, what's there to lose? I love moisturizer. So anyway, that's my those are my thoughts.
Okay, well, I was quite different in that I didn't get an opportunity to try the lube, but I did use the mousse. So they make a mousse. And that is actually an organic vaginal wash. And my daughter loves to wash her hair with it. And she actually, it's organic. So I think it's very, very friendly on your skin. It's got a very kind pH balance. It's lovely. I haven't used the lube. And I think I'm from a generation where maybe we're not so comfortable with lube. So I was quite shocked when I heard that everybody was using it, and I felt like I'd not learned how to do this thing. And so I am definitely going to use it now that I am learning about how to become more attracted to my partner. But I can definitely recommend the mousse, because the mousse, I think, if you want to wash your vagina and you want to wash your child's hair with one product, I would definitely recommend this.
I take two bottles into the shower.
We get through, honestly, we get through mountains of the stuff. And I'm actually hoping that someone will sponsor me and my family, because I think it's a product for everybody. It's brilliant. It's great.
So it is great. And it also has, there's two products. So this is an interesting factor for you. In your goodie bags, you will have two sachets of this. And one is oil-based and one is water-based. And the theory behind this is oil and water do not mix, which means that they slide off each other. So I don't know if you catch my drift, but basically in sex, that can be quite useful. Apply both of them and you get this lovely extra layer. And it's smooth as silk or silky sauce, etc.
Silky sauce.
Silky sauce. And another little tactic that we've picked up since reviewing these products is if there is a big problem with communication and you don't want to make it very obvious that you want to have sex, but you want to kind of suggest it, then I think put the lube out like some kind of beacon in your bathroom. As in, I've applied that and I'm ready. So you know how like in swinging circles, it's like you have a certain plant in your front garden to show that you're up for it, or you put your keys in any bowl that you come across. Put your lube out right by the loo. Put your lube on, get to bed, and there we go. Green light for everyone.
Got the Deliveroo, got the Chardonnay, and the lube.
So, true to form, we've got a bottle of lube and a bottle of Chardonnay. So, it's party time at Hotbed HQ. Woo-hoo. And, yeah, and you know, we're going to write a rap song or maybe an R&B song about that.
There ain't
and release
nothing
it.
Wrong with a bit of Chardonnay and lube. That is already a song, isn't it?
There yeah, we can ask Craig wrong. David to rap on it.
What is that song with a bump and grind?
That's Bump and Grind. That's R. Grind? Kelly. Okay. But it should have been Chardonnay and lube, definitely.
Put I'm lube on it, pour you some lube on my Chardonnay.
Maybe they could do Chardonnay flavoured lube next.
I think the problem is, yeah. is that if you get the lube out too soon, it is a bit presumptuous. And so I don't know what it's like in the modern dating world.
Annika,
but if
I'm
you
literally
get it out on the table with the wine, you're not creating any ambiguity there.
Annika, I would love to think that you would do that.
Here on the first date.
I've made shepherd's pie.
I've got shepherd's
pie. Wine.
And I've got a nice tiramisu from Lidl.
Or better still,
a brand new pot of lube.
And a new lube.
I think when you go for dinner and it's a couple, and it's clearly a couple, you know how they, like the head wine waiter will come over with a bottle of wine and present it to the table? Like they should be like, and maybe, can
maybe
I interest you
this
in this lube?
Would you like this lube? It
but
is a
I
vintage
wonder,
lube.
It's got a high note of
sommelier, a lube sommelier.
I think we yes. could do this.
But I think that we've done so much reviewing of lube. I wonder whether we are almost master lubers.
Well, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And what do you do with the extra lube?
And you know how someone who's really good at wine is a nose?
Yes.
That's what you call someone who's... So what would you call us?
A fanny. A vulva.
A vulva.
We're just a vulva. We're the hotel's
We're
in-house
evolving.
Vulva.
We're evolving.
Once again, evolving.
Oh.
On that note, we are going to go, I think.
What's
I think
our homework?
We've had quite enough. Homework. Oh, so we're going to set some homework. We're going to... send you all out and we want you to go on adventures in feminist porn. We want you to look up some ethical porn, look up some of the people that we've
and
mentioned.
And think of a new name as well.
And we want you to think of a new name for...
Feminist porn.
Feminist porn.
And please send us links to any that you particularly like. We'd love to spread the word on the good stuff.
Mm.
Let's try and really create a bit of a buzz around it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be,
exactly.
I think it's a good thing, you know, for all our children's sake.
And also, we haven't named all of the feminist porn, so there might be some people who are listening and they're thinking, actually, I've watched some really good stuff and it's made by so-and-so and I'd like to hear about that.
Yes.
Defo. Or go make your own bit of feminist porn.
Magic.
Yes.
So we'll see you next week, or you'll hear us next week. It's I'd Like Something Up My Bottom, Please. That is the name of the episode. Please
Ooh.
Don't miss it.
And, come.
Oh, hello.
You have to do the come.
Saucy, come.
Come and have, I'm hungry, fettuccine time.
Magic. Enjoy your fettuccine this week, everyone. So, how was that for you? If you enjoyed it as much as we did, we would love you to rate, review, and subscribe to The Hotbed on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to listen. Each one makes a massive difference.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.